Good morning, and welcome to Making a Change for Good. Good morning, Ashwini.
Good morning, Chris. Or good afternoon.
All right, so here's our assignment from yesterday. Do your daily practice. I think the most important question facing humanity is the universe a friendly place? This is the first and most basic question all people must answer for themselves. Albert Einstein. Today, pay special attention to how you're guided and supported by a friendly life. All right, and here is our first caller. You're now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
This is Tony from Athens.
Hey, Tony.
Hey, Ashwini, and hey, Chris. I really had such a good time with this assignment and the one the day before as well. Just having the question to look, how am I, look at all the ways I'm supported, and to so many that many I wouldn't have even thought of as support. And then others that, like the trees and the sun, things I did nothing to make happen that I could not live without. So there's just endless support when I look for it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, isn't that so true, Tony, that when we look for support, it's everywhere because we're looking for it, right? We just have to look. It reminds me of that quote that the perfectionist can only see imperfection, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it really, really underlines that ignorance is the root cause of suffering, because we are, when we're paying attention to the voices in our head, we're not aware of everything else. But when we're asked a question like the last two assignments, to actually look for a friendly universe, or to look at whether how it is that the universe is experiencing itself, we could find so many, many examples of that. And then we feel supported.
Exactly. I had not really connected that, you know, as the connection with ignorance is the root cause of suffering. I had not, and so that's really helpful to have that connection. Because if I start feeling, oh gosh, yeah, I feel so alone, or just everything's so hard, you know, I don't have a lot of support. But then to like, wait a minute,
right.
And then start looking at just the millions. And I even thought of things that, like, one of the things I do is I teach in some classes, and then I thought, you know, I feel supported by my students. Their
mm-hmm.
participation, their questions,
mm-hmm.
they're showing up. You know, I wouldn't have really considered that as being support
right.
for me, because I'm supporting them, really. But it's true. I just loved being able to see things that I didn't think of as support that
mm-hmm.
actually support me.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you make such an important point, right, Tony, because that is what ignoring what is about. It's the perspective I'm looking for that blinds me to seeing everything else. So if support is defined as you supporting your students, the fact that your students are participating in your class doesn't occur to you as you being supportive, right? And so it requires a change in how we see in order to be able to register all of these different aspects of support. I mean, we wouldn't say a tree was supportive, but yeah, if it didn't do its carbon dioxide oxygen exchange thing, we wouldn't be able to breathe, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Or the food that it produces, or the fact that the sun is our source of energy, or any of those things don't look like support because they're not seen as support. But as soon as you start to look for the myriad ways that you're supported, the evidence is everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes, and just, yeah, it just feels so good to...
It does, doesn't it? Yes. Yes, well, and it feels good to recognize the structure or the framework that we need to adopt, right? It's
mm-hmm.
it's just, I change, first of all, I notice I'm suffering, and then I realize that that's a lens that only sees something wrong, not enough. So now I have to expand the awareness to be able to look for what I want, which is to feel supported, and when I look for support, it's everywhere.
Yeah, that's really good. Yeah, just changing that perspective and where I'm looking from.
Exactly, where I'm looking from and all that I'm looking at, right?
Yeah, it's just, yeah, it's been so good. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you, Tony. Thank you for setting the stage.
Go happy.
Go happy.
Thank you, Tony. And Ashwini, I was reminded of the quote along those same lines that a person, and I'm not, probably not going to get this right, a person who's centered, everything enlightens.
It
seems the same way with that friendliness, right? That if we're identified with something wrong and not enough, then it's really hard to see almost anything as a support. And yet, and then when we get to center, then we can even view that identification as a kind of support.
Right. Yeah, supporting us to do everything that we possibly can not to stay in that process, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Sure. All right. Here is our next caller.
Oh.
You're
not
on the air? Go ahead.
Hi, this is Gail.
Hi, Gail.
Good morning. Wow, nice to talk to you.
Well, is it a friendly universe?
Oh, of course. It's a very and the big guidance I got yesterday when I was looking for it dropped in. I'm working on this month on taking what I call good loving care breaks. It's about like the joy of attending to whatever needs to be attended at that moment, or maintenance. And a lot of that is my maintenance, of course, you know, so just taking breaks regularly throughout the day to check in. And what dropped in yesterday is I got the New Reader's Digest and I flipped it open, and there was this article about why keeping the Sabbath holy is important. And it was basically about taking a day off in the week to just focus on not working, not doing the to-do list, you know, and just connecting up with Spirit or God, you know, in this article. And it was like, oh, it's a break, not only every day, but taking a big break to refocus every week.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, oh, because I've been so tired lately.
Mm-hmm.
And since I've retired, I don't really take a day off anymore.
Yeah, there's no structure to force the Sabbath, right?
Exactly.
Because you're not working, technically, if you're retired, within quotes.
Yeah, so I just
Yeah, it's such a strange word, retired, right? What, it's got tired embedded in it.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, I love what you're saying, Gail, because what we were looking at it in group last night, it's all about energy, right?
Mm.
And that process that you're describing about taking a break, or what the article was describing as a Sabbath, is really the process of connecting to the intelligence that animates and opening up the channels of what is energetic, what gives us energy, right?
Exactly.
Whereas if I'm constantly having my attention on the to-do list, the attention is collapsed, the awareness is collapsed, and all of it is giving the energy to conditioned mind in some way, or to the ego, because there's no presence in what I'm doing if I'm doing the to-do list in that way. So to stop and reconnect to Spirit, however we call that, whether it's on a moment-by-moment basis or take an entire day to replenish our energy banks, that's really what we're doing.
Yes. Yeah, and to read this very Christian article, but have it just popped all the practice language, just popped right into it.
Yes.
It was like I knew exactly what they were talking about for a change.
Well, and that goes back to what Tony was saying. It's the perspective from which we're looking, right?
Yeah, exactly.
It's my experience that it resonates with, not my conditioning.
Yes. Yeah, so that was that. So I was very happy to do the assignment yesterday and to have it all click very into place like that.
Yeah, Yeah, and once we get something like that, it's all a question of training, right? Then
yeah.
we practice it over and over again, and our and as you said, you know, you're no longer tired because what you're open to is the energy that is always active and flowing and available if we are present to it.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it just expanded my little focus that I was practicing, you know, this week to go, you can get bigger. You can take the whole.
Yes, yes, yes. That is so true. That if I'm identified with limitation, which is what ego is. Okay, you're too tired, or you don't want to, or you can't, or whatever it is. It's a negation of space. And so then, you know, when the attention gets redirected to awareness and conscious awareness to expanding what it is that's available to me, then it's a completely different experience.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very much so. Well, there we go.
Yeah, there we go. Okay. Well, here's to holy moments and holy days.
There we go. Yes, exactly. And today's a holy day. I'm going to go out and go in the woods and go look at the leaves. For the practitioner. Assignment.
Yes, yes, absolutely. That the importance and making it a priority to nourish our connection to spirit, whatever, however we want to say that, versus just feeding that the to-do list, right?
Exactly.
Energy to the to-do list.
Yep.
Yeah.
There we go.
Thank you, Gail.
All right. Go happy.
You too.
Thank you, Gail. And Shwini, as you said, that word retired is an odd one.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it really does beg that question of, well, retired from what?
Yeah.
And so many people idealize that place in which, that future in which they're on Sabbath all the time.
Yeah.
And when they actually do retire, whatever form that takes, then that relationship with conditioned mind still stays intact, and it doesn't feel like retirement is supposed to feel.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, and that's just, yeah, no, and that's just a good conclusion overall, right? That if I'm not practicing what it is that I want now, there's no way that it's going to be available to me in the future.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
This is Phil.
Hey, Phil.
Hi. I'm loving this conversation and this whole focus, of course, has just been remarkable. But what I saw when I did this, the universe, a friendly place, was the first time I noticed that was, it was early days when I was at the monastery, and it was early days in practice.
Hey, Phil, would you hang on 1 second? I don't know
yeah.
if you can hear
I
it,
do.
But there's
it's
a lot
somebody,
of... Someone may not be muted, so
yeah,
Chris,
muted,
I don't know if you can...
All right, let me check.
...look at that. Thank you. Go ahead, Phil.
Yeah, so it was early days in the practice, and I was at the monastery, and... especially in the dark or the winter, the trees looked very scary, you know, and the tiny part of their branches would, you know, you walk down a skinny path and they'd be poking at me, you know, and stick it on my sleeve or something.
Mm-hmm.
And so one day I had to go do something at night, and I was coming back down my path in the kind of a dark with my flashlight, and I felt the tree, and it was like, oh, something happened, and it didn't feel like it was, you know, coming at me, poking at me, and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It felt like it was touching me and encouraging me and supporting me. And from that day on, I mean, it was like, wow. You know, it speaking of that, which is in the first caller, you know, the broadening of the perspective,
mm-hmm.
because everything just changed. I remember in that moment I said, did the trees have changed? But the trees probably can't change. Maybe I change.
Yeah. Well, and that is so profound, right, Phil, that the tree didn't change. And in some sense, you didn't change because there's nothing, you are the tree. But that orientation changes, right? If I look for a friendly universe, as you said, then you see it. So a tree that was scary now is kind. It touches you, right?
Yes, but the amazingness of this experience to me was I never tried to do that. It was just not even in my awareness. But yeah. I was there, and I was practicing, and I was there, and I was here at that point, practicing. And
well, Phil, wouldn't you call that a consolation, right?
Well, it just changed, yeah.
Yeah, it's grace.
Own.
Yeah.
It was grace. It's just like at that moment it dropped in, and everything was then perceived differently. So, yes, the universe is a friendly place, and it in that perspective, it makes life so much easier because it can look to conditioned mind, particularly, right now and probably all the time, but a really scary place. It could be seen that way. But even with all the weird stuff going on, understanding or this broader vision that the universe is friendly and it's got our back.
Yes. Well, and that I think, right, Phil, in our practicing is ever expanding faith. So that what you're pointing to is here I am walking down the path, metaphorically and literally speaking, in a place that feels scary, and then the universe reveals itself as friendly. And that really is the relationship that we're cultivating in practice, right? That I keep encountering the places in which that is not available to me, and the universe reveals itself to me as what it is. And so then you arrive at a place at a time like now where everything feels kind of difficult, but that faith that I haven't seen it yet, and still I believe, or I know, or through my experience, that this is still, everything is still okay. Perhaps I haven't seen it, but the universe has my back. It's the context of living in a friendly universe, right?
Exactly. And this comes through with this focus, and I'm sure all the other focuses we've had, but I was seeing it in this focus where I continue to, as I said, do the work to show up, be here. And the focus, I kind of focused on as far as my practice with it is the political scene and how I can get really angry and that kind of thing. And then the love then of the bring unconditional love to the person. So just doing that and what I know, and this is the faith, but just like that happened, that my whole perspective on this has changed. I mean, nothing in a maybe not changed, but broadened. So I don't get so wrapped up in it. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. So that my sense of the loving universe is not challenged by the circumstances that don't seem that way. Right?
Exactly.
So I can live in that universe regardless of what's going on in it, right?
Yes, and that's what I love so much about practice is change happens, let's put it that way. Transformation happens. We just keep showing up and doing what we do the work, be here, practice that part of it, and seeking, walking towards the desire of the heart, all those things we can call it or not, anyway, move that direction. It's like it's all moving that direction even without us having any control over it.
Yeah. So that faith in that it happens, right? That we are being, as much as we are seeking, we're being sought.
Yeah.
And knowing that assists the mysterious process of transformation, right?
Yeah.
Thank you, yeah. Phil.
Thank you. Thank you both.
Thank you, Phil. And Shwini, that was very fun. And just that last little piece there, that it really does seem that way, that friendliness is seeking us as we are seeking it, right? It's seeking to know itself in us in some way.
Yeah, and it's hard to describe, and we don't know if it's true, but it certainly feels that way, right? How do you explain walking down a dark and scary path of the monastery and suddenly for a tree to touch you and everything to drop away and feel, oh, wow, that was a friendly tree rather than a scary tree? How does that happen? Yeah.
Yeah. The other part of that is this notion of feeling like I've changed in some way, that when that happens in the conversation that you were, as you were indicating, that it's really that I've just gotten into closer alignment with what is. Experience myself as different, but kind of just closer to who I truly am in some way.
Yeah, yeah, that seems to be the really important point, right? That I'm much closer to experiencing myself as that which is rather than what I'm not.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Great way to describe it. Yeah. Perfect. All right. Here is our next caller. You are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Elizabeth from Florida.
Hey, Elizabeth.
And
what are you
seeing
about
enjoying the conversation, and this year-long retreat feels like a sabbatical year.
So what are you seeing about your friendly universe and your focus?
Well, I see a lot of kids my grandchildren are visiting. So I'm very happy to have them around, as much like noise singing and dancing and playing and, yeah.
They have no doubt that the universe is friendly, right?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. It's a good place to be with kids. Yeah.
Yes, because that it I project what you're pointing to is there's such a resonance in that experience in us, right? The playfulness,
yes.
The joy, the freedom from being conditioned that can be so absolutely expressed.
Yes, to be in the presence. Yeah, to be here. No.
Yes, that's
because they are small kids. They are 5 and 7, so it's really easy to be with them.
Yes, to be with the authenticity, right? And I love the word you use, to be present, and I can hear them in the background.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Elizabeth. Thank you for sharing that.
Love you. Go happy.
Love you too. Go happy.
Thank you, Elizabeth. All right, Ashwini, I'm going to bring on the next caller here. Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, this is Paula. Can you hear me?
Hey, Paula. Yes, loud and clear.
Hey. Oh, great.
What's friendly in your universe?
Well, one thing that's friendly is being on this call and listening to all the sharing. And that last call, well, all of them made me smile big, but I particularly smiled big at this very last one because, you know, there's something about that question, is the universe a friendly place, that just opens the heart to guide us to look. And I, you know, my experience, I think it was yesterday that I was actually responding to this assignment. I went out early in the morning and with that question in mind. And gosh, usually I'm up before sunrise and the sun was just beginning to rise and it was this gorgeous pink color. And there was just a little drizzle of rain that was falling on me and I was noticing the few little flowers that are still blooming and reaching out for the sun. It was just, I think like maybe you were pointing at earlier, well, it's very hard to put into words how that experience, I mean, it is an experience, it's not a concept.
Yes, precisely. What I project you're pointing to is total presence, right? All of the attention here to notice. I mean, we're there noticing the pink of the clouds and the little flowers reaching up to the sun, and it's not verbal, it's not mental. I'm in it. I'm in it, and I'm part of it. And that experience is that sense of belonging or friendliness or whatever label you want to put to it. But it is a direct experience of that. Of the universe, it's the previous one, right? Paula, the Alan Watts one, where the universe is experiencing itself, just simply as
it is. Yes, it is. And that, and what the other thing that dropped in as I was listening today is that this experience of the universe as a friendly place is, at, you know, the most loving way.
Yeah.
That we can be, and since we were focused on loving, that just dropped in. Wow, at that same time that I experienced the friendliness of the universe, I experienced the, I have the experience of loving, being in love.
Yes, yeah, you're making such an important point, right, Paula, that when we look at what ego is, it's the absence of love, right? I mean, all of what we see happening in the world that people do because we're all identified with ego, and identification with ego is a place of separation from all that is. That it's not hard to make the movement into presence and feel the love, because it is the presence of presence is love, is what you're pointing to. And so from that place, there's a very different place we come from than when we're identified and can hate and we act from fear and all of those other things we do from identification.
Yes, and I'm just appreciating so much all these opportunities with practice to be reminded of that very thing, to do whatever we do, do it with love.
Mm-hmm.
And
I'm
going to say
stay
thank
connected.
You. And
Yeah, yes, that we stay connected to that place of center from which, or that place that you were walking with the sunshine and the flowers. That is the place from which we could do everything. We can come to everything in life. And it's a very, very different experience.
Yes. And it brought me back to my practice commitment for this session. And it was to really bring my, you know, to intentionally or consciously turn my attention to being in this body. Because that's a place where I, from my, you know, in my experience, if I'm not in aware of being embodied and being and bringing my attention to center, and that just that experience of being present in this here now is just time and time again. With that practice being reinforced in these the radio show supporting that, I have all the reassurance and encouragement I could possibly need all the time.
Yeah, we practice that, right? We practice what it is that we know will assist us to be here.
Exactly. Mm. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Paula.
And you too, Chris. Thank you so much for being here, supporting us on out here.
Yeah, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Paula. Go happy.
And it's funny, it really does seem like after all these of people reporting in that friendliness, like so many other things, is a portal to being present. And when we're there, then access to all of those other qualities of existence are available to us. So unconditional love is just a very short step from receiving that friendliness and the awe of it all, just the magnificence of being fully present.
Yeah, I just love that, what you said, what you're saying, Chris, right? That when we're here, we get to experience every quality of existence.
Yeah.
Because we are, all that is what we are in the moment. And so we get to experience all the flavors of it in the moment.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We may come in via the portal of friendliness, and from there, opportunities are endless, as we see.
Yes, yeah.
All right, well, very good. That brings us to the end of another wonderful show, Ashwini. And so here is our assignment for today. Do your daily practice. Come up with a special way to express appreciation for the practitioner. Remember, appreciation is not related to performance. We're practicing unconditional love and acceptance.
Yeah. Well, let's not skip this important step, because I project we move on to another focus tomorrow.
I was wondering that. Cool.
And so when we're back on Monday, we'll be on a different topic. So.
All right. Very exciting.
Very exciting.
All right. Thank you,
Chris. Yeah. Thank you so much. Go happy and have a wonderful weekend.
Thanks, everyone. Take care.